Win £100,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win. The jackpot must be won this week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Thank you for joining us. Week 3 of Fridays with Fran. I'm back after my little sojourn. My name's Patrick Nelly, and Fran Berry joins me to look ahead to not just Dundalk. We may have a little sneaky peek at Paris in October as well. Fran, we start off with a lovely week in the first week. A couple of nice winners, a nice little each way puck. We just pass on what happened last week.
Yeah, it was a frustrating week. I think we might have knocked in one winner late on the day, but there was a few hard luck stories and a few didn't even appear in the picture, unfortunately. So we'll move on to this week.
Move on is what we will do.
I should have went to the ploughing championships with you and took the evening off, really.
I can tell you one thing. It would have cost you more at the ploughing. You could walk in there and you'd lose, I don't know how much money after about 10 minutes. Oh, would you like to buy this? Yeah, how much? Would you like to go into this raffle and this raffle? I went into a raffle for a shed, 2 tractors, and nothing. I didn't get anything. How, boys?
Stick to Dundalk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Before we get stuck into Dundalk, and it's a really good card, by the way, Dundalk, we've got a few listed races and a fascinating conditions race. It's probably one of the better class meetings, I should say, at Dundalk run all season. Before we get stuck into that, obviously everyone looking ahead to the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, Fran, a race close to your heart. And I say that because your association with Japan and Japan's love of this race, and they have got the usual few runners. What are your thoughts? We now know the declarations. We now know the draw. All we need to know now is the winner.
Yeah, look, wouldn't it be fantastic if Japan could overcome that hoodoo, if you like? And title holder is very interesting on the back of his recent run of form. And, you know, he's going to make a bold bid, I think, for the Japanese. The rest of the contingent are probably up against it in some respects. I suppose the key race is the Irish Champion Stakes when you go down through the form. Vadim, quite surprised to see him declared at a mile and a half. Connections are adamant that he was a 10 furlong horse all year, but it's the Arc. You only get one go at it. The Aga Khan, he can always go back down and trip. And for me, he's up against it trip-wise for all that he's got as far as I can see, a good draw in towards the rail. Chris Assuming was not good on him at all in the Irish Champion Stakes, but I do think on the day, Luxembourg, I was very, very taken how much progress physically he made from the Royal Whip. I was dead against him going to Leopardstown, the Irish Champion Stakes. I didn't think that he could make that progress in 3 weeks from winning the Royal Whip to go on to win the Irish Champion Stakes. But when he walked into the parade ring, he was a different horse. He was like a boxer that was stripped fit, ready to go after losing 15, 20 kilos, whatever it was. And he's really on his game. And given how little racing he's had this year, I always felt, and I think the general view was, he was a Derby horse in the making. He missed that true injury after the Guineas, stepping up to mile and a half with a good draw and stall late in the Arc on the back of that Irish Champion Stakes run. We could really see the best of Luxembourg here. He's open to further improvement. He gets a 3-year-old weight for age allowance, and he just has, by accident, had a mid-season break, the ideal preparation, if you like, for an Arc.
Luxembourg to make it back-to-back wins in Group 1 company. He's never run over the trips and no problems with the trip, as far as you're concerned. You think he's made for a mile and a half?
I think he'd be better at it. I think he's got a real good cruising speed. He doesn't pull, he relaxes. Big field, he should be able to go forward to get into the first 6 or 8 horses in the Arc, and he relaxes. And all year long, you're thinking he's a mile and a half horse in the make. And he did show a lot of speed in Leopardstown. He picked up well, but there may well be more improvement to come. And I think whatever Luxembourg does a 10, he could well be better at 12 furlongs.
Fascinating. Yeah, really looking forward to it. It's an Arc that maybe is not quite there in terms of some of the previous levels of quality, but it's going to be better than the British Champion Stakes, that's for sure.
There's more runners anyway.
Tell you what, if this is one now, this is a left field shout here. If Helvic Dream is declared for the British Champion Stakes, he's 100-1 Paddy Power as we speak. If he's declared in what could be a 3-runner race, who knows? You never know. He could be on each way. Wouldn't put anyone off putting a couple of quid on Helvic Dream each way. Right, we've got to move on to Dundalk. I'm going to skip the takeaway chat because I think we've covered everything, I think, in the first 2 episodes. So we'll move on to booze, actually. We'll move on to booze later in the show. But let's talk about what is a really good card, Fran, at Dundalk. We kick off with the 450. It's a conditions race for 3 hours and upwards over 5 furlongs. You've got a few specialists here at the track, particularly Harry's Bar for Aidan McGuinness and young Adam Caffrey, who takes £7 off. You've also got the Highway Rat, who proved to be a revelation here at Dundalk for Andy Oliver and Billy Lee, and Logo Hunter, who's a very classy sprinter. This is better than a conditions race, isn't it?
It's a cracking race, and it's actually a prep race for the Group 3 Mercury Stakes, which will be coming up at this track in a couple of weeks' time. And look, he can go down through them to Harry's Bar. He's 6 wins from 9 starts in Dundalk. Loves the track. Very, very good last time, winning back here in August with a big weight. As you said, PK, Adam Caffrey gets a good tune out of him, and taking off that £7 again here tonight should suit him very well. Just not sure he's as good at 5 furlongs taking on some of the opposition he's likely to face here if they're on the best behaviour, if you like. Logo Hunter, he was a revelation last year. Great story from Michael Brown and his team. He hasn't been running maybe to the same level this year, but he has been highly tried. And back in the all-weather where he won his first ever race, he is interesting, but probably best watching the back of that long layoff since Royal Ascot. And the Highway Rat is the one I'd be most interested here in. I think he paid a price on ground that wouldn't be suitable in the Flying Five, trying to match strides with Highfield Princess on that occasion. The ground, and probably not being good enough for Group 1, came into play in the last 2 furlongs. So back in the all weather, he won the Mercury Stakes here last year. He's a multiple winner to track. And I think he may well be only coming to hand at the back of that Group 1 run. He's way down in class. Racing around a bend seems to suit him very well on the poly track. Anything like his best form, the Highway Rat, for me, is the one to beat.
Lovely. Should be a nice price too, because I think that Harry's Bar will make the market there in the 450. So the Highway Rat for Andy Oliver and Billy Lee going for that championship. Will he win? Will he win the championship, Billy Lee? Might you?
Hope so. I backed him late 1 in July. Picked that one up after timing, but look, it's a cracking battle, and you know, between Colin and Billy, every Friday for the next 5 weeks, whatever we got left, and the turf meetings adds a real dimension to the end of the season, particularly when it gets a little bit mundane midweek or that. And you know, both of them have been hit the crossbar all week, and a good day for one of them, 3 winners somewhere along the line, or if Billy's away or Colin's away, could swing things.
It's more likely that Colin might have a few away trips, isn't it? I suppose. And you'd be hoping that there'll be more. I know Westover, obviously, Rob Hornby's back on board, isn't he, in the ARC, that Colin might have been going to Longshot. But it is more likely that Colin does get the nod to go maybe to America and stuff.
Yeah, possibly. But pearls galore for Paddy Toomey would be a potentially one for the Breeders' Cup. The turf season ends the 6th of November in May, so that'll probably clash with the Breeders' Cup. So you could find the last weekend, maybe Colin and Billy could be away. But look, there's a lot of race between now and then. Like you have Turles on next week, a flat meeting. There's plenty of midweek grass racing left. So it'll be very, very interesting. But it's been a cracking battle. And, you know, a championship battle brings out the best in boat riders. It'll be interesting to see now.
Yeah, it'd be great to see Billy Lee taking on Colin Keane. And if you're looking for a video on Billy Lee, Castletown Donkey Derby, search it on YouTube. It is one of the greatest videos. You've seen it, Fran, have you?
I have. I mentioned Billy in an interview or two. I think he cringes still about it, but it's a classic, yeah. Classic.
It is one of the greatest videos. Like, genuinely, one of the greatest videos on YouTube. Right, we'll move on to the second race. And old Fred, he won last time for us, Congo River, that was a couple of weeks ago. This is a cracking, near 50 grand, 5 furlong listed race. Congo River for Aidan O'Brien and Wayne Gordon, number one on the card, winner last time. But Aidan also saddles Tiger Paw. Gerlines has got Apricot Twist with Colin Keane aboard, and Corralillo for Eddie and Patrick Harty. It looks a really nice type as well. And just 4 starts, Chris Hayes on board. This is a lovely little race, Fran.
Yeah, very competitive. A couple of UK challengers are over to run in it for George Bowie and Rafe Beckett. They need to step forward on their form to date. Both of them have been a little bit disappointing. One, George Boy runner in a higher grade, of course, running a Group 1 last week. And Puffable was well beat with a penalty when last seen at Newbury off a mark in the 70s. Both hunting for black type here tonight and will need to step forward. Silmania for Johnny Murta is interesting as well. Got off the mark at Navan recently when held up. A strong traveller, she finished well to get up on the line under a good ride from Ben Cohn. She's a sister to Sonalia, who kept improving with age as a sprinter. Definitely want to keep an eye on, as is Funny Money Honey, who could put a bit of pace into the race. over the 5 furlong trip. Apricot Twist, trained by Geraldine, she looked monster when winning on debut at Naas. Things didn't go to plan the next day at Naas, but last time in that Group 3 round her stakes, I thought she ran really well. She was picked up late on by Kralio, who's since got beat quite well at Ferry House recently. And for me, of that pair, Apricot Twist on the all-weather is the one I'd like to be with most. But I do keep coming back to Congo River. I know he only won last week, winning a neck, but I think a really big field with a strong pace will play to his strengths. I'm not sure he'll ever do a hell of a lot to go away and win by a couple lengths, but he does cruise very well through a race, as he had at Navan two starts ago. Fast 5 furlongs by Mendelssohn around a bend. Not a bad draw in stall 7. I think Coralio and Apricot Twist will be top of the market, and for me, Congo River is value.
When you look at these races and you look at the Ballydoyle horses, Fran, and Ryan Moore is not riding, like, it's very difficult for punters to go, oh, Wayne Lorden's number one, or Shamey Heffernan's number one, or you know, do you just basically forget about that and just look at the horse's form, or does it play into your thoughts?
No, I think you've got to take the horses as the individual. Now, in the recent months, Wayne Lorden definitely seems to be the go-to man, if you like, when Ryan Moore isn't over. Early in the season, it was Shamey Heffernan, so it's kind of hard to know, is everybody just getting a crack of the whip, if you like, and getting the opportunities? But definitely Wayne is probably more up the ladder than Seamus at this point in time. But form-wise, I just go up to horse. Yeah. There's not, and especially when you're at this level, there may not be a lot between them anyways.
Yeah, it's fair enough. Shamey Heffernan, some soldier, isn't he? He's happy to sit in the front line, isn't he? Where, you put me in there, I'll do a job, Aidan. I don't mind. First, second, third, or fourth.
And never misses, does he? You know, think of any race, whether it's going over to Royal Ascot riding So You Think in the Eclipse, wasn't he one on? He just doesn't miss. We call him Big Money Hef because he always comes back with a check, yeah.
Good man, Big Money Hef, I like that. Let's move on to the first maiden on the card, the 6 o'clock. It is a 7 furlong maiden for 3-year-olds and upwards. And Scarlet Angel is probably the starting point, in what's a pretty open race for Geraldine's and Colin Keane. Rated 70. Now, there's a few rated above her, but it looks like something to the mid-70s will win this maiden.
It will, and Scarlet Angel, definitely on breeding, could be better on the all-weather. She's by Mineshaft, American Sire, and I think switching to the poly track on a level track will suit her well. Little bit unlucky in a couple of occasions. She was held up at Killarney, finished off really well. And again, at Belliestown, running into Flame of Era when finishing well was really good form. Flame of Era winning at Listowel last week. She's a filly that should be better in the all-weather. I'm just not sure she's the... They're obviously holding on to her early on in the race to have her finishing. She may not be the most robust, but on the surface, she could be a different proposition. Caracool, second last year to Pisbadil in a maiden, and has been regressive since then. Connections don't know what his trip is, what his ground is. He's just a disappointing horse. He'll make the market. Perhaps people might hopefully get sucked into the trap of backing him again on the all-weather. Maybe going around a bend would suit him very well. Lord Obama, number 6. I'd be against him at the 7 furlong trip. I think 6 furlongs would be as far as he wants, particularly after a break. And there's an interesting one, number 7, Zabir, is trained by Donald Kinsella. Had a decent level of form in the UK. Went trained by Andrew Balding, and I thought his run last time at Clonmel over 9.5 furlongs definitely merits upgrading. He was slightly slow at his stalls. He made a lot of ground up early on against a hill to get into position, but he travelled strongly once into stride and only gave best inside the final furlong after maybe kicking on a bit too soon. He's down to 7 furlongs here today. He raced off a mark in high 70s in England. I think just on the surface, with so many question marks about the opposition and given his UK form and promise at Clonmel over longer, he's going to be the value here.
You going each way? Could be an each way price.
It could be an each way price. I'd be happy to take him each way if it was. Yes, yeah, definitely.
Okay, Zabir in the 6 o'clock. That maiden looks a very open maiden indeed. Late season, typical late season maiden. Moving on to a nursery, the 6:30, obviously 2-year-old handicap. Again, the same trip, 7 furlongs. Only the 8 horses declared for this. A tricky race on paper. Fendi has got snippets of place for him. Hilltop Spare for James McCauley. Colours we see often winning at Dundalk, usually in claimers though. That's also one who we could fancy. Ado McGuinness has got a handicap and all-weather debutante in Mether. Your thoughts?
Yeah, look, Metro down the bottom is definitely interesting. Keep an eye on market moves. We've seen nothing of note in their maiden runs, but off market 50 could be interesting for a team that tends to progress their horses from low marks. Key race probably Down Royal the 2nd of September. Fendi, Amiri, Lady Skipper and Slick Chick were 6, 7, 9 and 10th on that occasion. And I thought Amiri, trained by David Marnane, is very, very interesting here on the poly track. Definitely showed a little bit more than the finishing result would suggest in mid-July in Leopardstown Maiden Company, making her handicap debut on that occasion at Down Royal. She travelled really well through the race down towards the rail. Just didn't get the best of breaks off the elbow. Briefly didn't get a run and picked up to looking like she was going to finish. To me, it looked like she got tired, and given it was her first run for almost 2 months, there should be more to come. Stable were just beat here last week with one of their horses in that Lister race. And I think this time test filly's home to a lot more improvement than her rivals. And for me, with Billy Lee fighting out that championship, she's going to be the value here.
Lovely. Number 7 on the card, Amemri, Dave Marnan, Billy Lee.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Second listed race of the night is due off at 7 o'clock. It's another good quality race, obviously listed company. This time over 7 furlongs for the juveniles. And Cairo for Aidan O'Ryan and the aforementioned Wayne Lorden is probably going to make the market. Unlucky second on debut and made no mistake in a Curra Maiden last time out. You've also got Spirit Gal, who is one of two spirits in the race who could go well, Spirit Genie being the other one. And they'll actually both potentially be towards the top of the market, both rated in the 90s. And Purling Path for John Stephen O'Donoghue, who for people who don't know, he trains at John Ox's former place, doesn't he?
He does, first season trainer, and nearly had a big day at Royal Ascot with Purling Path, who's just caught what in the last 100 yards in the Chesham Stakes at a big price. And haven't seen anything like that form since then. And he's been gelded, and he comes here in the back of being gelded after an okay run only at Tipperary last time. Happy to watch him, although he's by a sire that should do well on the all-weather Holy Roman Emperor. I do just question whether that was a freak result on the day at Royal Ascot, and happy to watch him out of stall 10. Spirit Genie has been disappointing since winning well at Roscommon, as a Shea, who looked really good at Leopardstown when winning on debut. No show really on Irish Champions weekend. And Spirit Gal deserves a shot at this this kind of company, but I'd be against her at 7 furlongs. Imadpur, number 4, is really interesting, switching to the all-weather. I thought he'd done extremely well to win a Cork recently, a strong traveller. His cruising speed should suit the all-weather very well, but he's going to really have to be at the top of his game to beat Cairo. He's a standout contender in this race. He's got stall 1. He made all over mile effectively the last time to Curry. He put 3 lengths between himself and the rest of the field at the 2 furlong marker. He did tie up in the last 100 yards, but he'd done a lot of running to get there. And I think dropping down to 7 furlongs, racing around a bend on the poly track with a low draw, he will be very hard to beat. I can see a number of his rivals queuing up at the 2 furlong marker to have a go at him, but I think the last furlong he'll be strong and will win.
You been to Egypt?
No, I haven't. Yeah, it's I'd like to go see the pyramids and a couple of things like that, but no, not yet.
Couple of things like that.
There's no race course there, so I never had a reason otherwise.
Yeah, they have camel racing. I'd be fairly confident because I was there and they kept on asking me how many camels.
Don't think they carry me anymore.
Right, we'll move on from camel racing to a couple of divisions of a mile handicap. The 7:30 is the first of those. These two races are going to be pretty open, looking for potentially each way prices. There's a few interesting ones. Colin Keane, interestingly, riding for Andrew McNamara aboard Plankton. You've also got Dark Desert Highway, Endless Season. Sadiqa is an eye-catching one too. This is open.
It is open. Keep an eye on number 14, Stratocaster, down the bottom. Shaped really well over 10.5 furlongs last time when upped a lot in trip. Down to mile, should suit very well. Has a light weight and could be open to further improvement back here at this trip. It's lightly raced. Chevalier for Eddie Lynam, keep an eye on that one as well. Hasn't ran for a while. happy to watch him here tomorrow night and see how he shapes up. He may well need to run. And Dark Desert Highway done extremely well to win recently. The track from a very wide gate, he travelled really well into the race and was a ready winner. He's probably open to further improvement, but the one that could improve most is number four, Endless Season, trained by Mick Halford. Loved that recent run in a handicap. She travelled really well in a couple of maidens early in the season, but switching to the all-weather off mark in of 64, she went through the race really well and just looked to get tired inside the last half of furlong. Given she's likely race PK and has a decent, an okay draw, if you like, install 11, taking on very exposed rivals, I think Endless Season will be go very well. It's probably going to be value here.
She's been really interesting in the betting her last two starts. She's a huge drifter on both occasions. She drifted from nearly 6-1 out to 14-1 at Gorn and 7-1 to 25-1 last time out. So whatever she does at home, it must be useless.
Exactly. Obviously doing a bit more than what connections expect, but hopefully she's strong tomorrow night. I'd expect her to be, and the extra furlong should play more to her strengths as well.
Okay. Endless Season. Watch out for what, and if she drifts, don't mind it. 8 o'clock is the second division of that handicap. And we've got an old friend here, Fran. On week one of Fridays with Fran, you put up Miss Abby Jules. You were hoping, we were looking at the irishracing.com tissue price because we didn't have any part prices. They said she'd be 33s. She was 16-1 first show and she did get the each way money. Are you going in again?
Yeah, definitely. Look, a lot to like about that run. She was had potential on base in her previous efforts and thankfully ran very well on that occasion. Wouldn't have beat the winner, Dark Desert Highway, but didn't get the best runs through the vital stage. Having travelled very well, would have been second. Same mark here tonight. Decent off draw in stall 9. I do think she's open to further improvement. Again, taking on pretty exposed rivals. And I think the makeup of this race should suit her very well. International Lady, number 3. Samina Vela, number 4. And Never Back Down, number 5. They're 3 confirmed front runners. That's going to really suit this filly. She's a strong traveller who will be finishing off well. Sierra Nevada, number 8, is open to a bit more improvement. Interesting to see that Colin Keane is booked for that one. She's definitely shaped like she's capable of winning off a mark. But for me, with the makeup of the race and the promise of that recent run at the track, I think Miss Abby Jules will be hard to beat.
Sticking rather than twisting with Miss Abby Jules there, Fran.
We could be talking about her in February going over the cliff with her after she's beat the next 5 runs, but we'd stick with her.
So far, she's in profit. Level stake profit with Miss Abby Jules at the moment. We'll see if, like, it's hard to know what kind of price. I'd hope she's around an each way price, but would you be thinking she might be 4-5-1? Be win only at that sort of price, or
I would have thought so. Look, I'm a big fan of when Paddy puts up the extra places and you're getting 5, 6, 7-1 in these races because, you know, Dundalk, there's short margins between the first 5 or 6 homes. So we'll see what the morning price is like, but I would not put anyone off for win only or each way ideally.
Blattery will get you extra places. I hope it's an extra place race. We don't know at the time of recording, so I'll keep an eye on the emails as we're recording. 8:30. Now, this is a crack into the finale. It's a 22 grand handicap over the 1.5 miles for 3-year-olds and upwards. So you've got horses rated in the mid-90s, in the late 90s. Phoenix Cowboy, if I'm not mistaken, I think ran in the Derby, is the top weight. Jack Kearney rides for Ger Lyons. So it looks like basically Ger has said to Colin, nah, this horse needs a bit of a break, and Colin Key's not riding him. But Gulliver's Travels, we've won with him before. Are you going in again?
He's going to run very well here at Gulliver's Travels. As you said, he's not a horse to be watching really through the run. He's very lazy. It's only in the last furlong that he really gets into top gear, as he had done when winning at Cork, and he was equally as good when winning on Polytrack debut this track. Handicapper didn't miss him. He put him up £9 for the win. And look, he's open to further improvement. He gets to 3-year-old weight for age allowance as well, which is a big plus. But there's one horse in here I've been waiting for to get back on the surface, if you like. He's shaped far better than the bare result in his recent runs is Amor Tentia. He's trained by Joseph O'Brien. He won the track here last year in really good style, getting off the mark, beating, and he was also a very good winner in a handicap in Nace prior to going to Royal Ascot, where he was quite well fancied for the Britannia, wasn't it? And he should have won the last day at the Curragh. It was a horror show. If you look at the video from 2 furlongs out, everything that could go wrong went wrong. He's out of a Galileo Mare Love Potion, who I, from what I can recall, won on a road in the past. He did a one at a track in Dundalk back in 2015. And I do think the Poly track, stepping up to 1.5 for Amor Tentia, he'll be very hard to beat with a good, strong gallop team at with the likes of Gulliver's Travels in the race. And Shajak is interesting also in the Poly track, but Amor Tentia, we haven't seen the best team yet.
You did mention on the first episode of Fridays with Fran that Joseph O'Brien is one to watch out for. I'm just looking through the card. That is only runner on the card? I think it might be.
Yeah, it's quite unusual. And what a week he's had, or a week, 10 days, you know, between Lestole, we thought he's given up jumping 8 to 5 or 6 winners over jumps, as well as all the flat winners. So he's definitely not gone away yet.
Definitely not. I think he only has 6 or 7 jumpers left, and they nearly all ran in the Kerry National. And of course, he won it with Busselton, albeit a little bit lucky, as we know. Right, so that's Amortensia in the 8:30. I can confirm, Fran, your flattery works. We're going to give you an extra place in the 5:25, the 6:00, the 7:30, and the 8:00. So there you go. You get 4 places in each of those races. Well done, Fran. You did the job. Paddy's great, as you said. Right, we've covered the card. I now need your best bet and potentially your next best. But let's go first, best bet on this Friday evening.
Knapp is Cairo, race 5. He's going to win. Hopefully he's 5-4, 6-4, 7-4, maybe 2-1 if Paddy Power Traders are in good form. But no, he'll be very hard to beat. I do think he's different class to his opposition. He's a good setup, stall 1 on the poly track. Thought he was better than the Bear result again at the car last time. He just hung on, albeit over a mile. I'm very interested in Zabir, race 3. I think he's going to be the value taking on exposed rivals. That run at Clonmel recently over 9.5 furlongs was very, very good. And we might do a Mick Halford double in race 6 and race 7, Endless Season, and Miss Abby Jewels as an each way type of double, maybe.
Okay, lovely. So the map is Cairo, and then the Mick Halford each way double in Zabir. Oh, sorry, not Zabir, but Endless Season. And what was the second leg?
Miss Abby Jewels for race 7.
Oh, the old friend of the pod. By the way, I forgot to mention, sorry, producer Mark, Paddy's Pick 5 will be back this weekend. 100 grand again in the pot. We're struggling to find winners, Fran. We've had a few bad weeks, but Paddy's Pick 5, by the time you're listening to this, it should be live. If not, do check the show notes and it'll bring you straight to the widget, to the Paddy Power News website, brings you the winner. Have you done it yet, Fran? You did. You tried it the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, my wife has done it a couple of times. So yes, yeah, we keep trying.
She's brutal, that. As long as she's back Miss Abby Jules, did she though, 2 weeks ago?
She did, yeah. Each way, very, very happy with that. And hopefully we can maybe move the Pick 5 to Dundalk on Friday and gives a chance.
Lovely. Phoenix Cowboy did not run on the Derby. Thank you, producer Mark. I don't know where I got that. There was a horse in those colours, but I think it was Chiricahua.
That's the one.
I was thinking of in the same colours. sorry. But yes, Paddy's Pick 5 will be back. Thank you, producer Mark, for correcting me on Phoenix Cowboy. And also, we're going to have a massive weekend. We've got already Fridays with Fran covered. Thank you for listening. But we're also going to be back at Ruby and Rory, looking ahead to Saturday at Newmarket and beyond on ITV, and a massive Sunday. We'll have a separate pod for the Arc Day. When was the last time you went to the Arc?
I rode Jack Naylor probably 2015. It was second in the Marcel Busack, was it, a 2-year-old race for fillies. And
why was she called Jack?
It was a family connection. Jerry Byrne, the owner, had a grandchild that wasn't too well at the time, and was there something to do with Holby City as well, maybe, or something as well? There was a giant kind of thing. So she was good mare, yeah, second.
Oh,
in the,
she was.
Yeah.
Did she get her group one in the end, or she was very close a couple of times?
No, I was second in the Irish Oaks. Pat Smullen probably outrode me on the mare of Hugo Palmer's Covert Love, and when he made all. And of course, she won a group three to Denny Cordell at the end of her season. And I think she's in Japan now, the last I heard.
Oh, great. So she's produced a few. Any winners?
She has actually. She'd win her in the all weather in England, I think, in Kempton during the summer months. I might have copped that. Yes, yeah, but nothing to the same level yet.
Very good. That's the last time you've been to on Arc Day then?
It is, yeah. Exactly. I actually had a good day out in the Arc many years ago. I rode Osterhazy in the Abbey, and it was the first race of the day, and my flight was 10 o'clock that night. So I went for a walk down around the enclosure, and by the time I went down for the last race to jump into the taxi with Pat Smullen, it wasn't a pretty sight, but it was good fun.
He was now at a time when Irish sprinters were pretty slow. He was just a speedball, wasn't he? He was so fast. Osterhazy.
Unbelievable. I was fourth in the Abbey on him, but the ground's probably gone from on that occasion. He got his trip to Hong Kong, but what he used to do to Cora was just off the charts. He won the Rockingham with 10 stone 7 pounds, breaking the then track record over 5 furlongs. I used to genuinely get to 2 furlong mark and I'd be there, how did I get here? You know, it was just so fast, and getting him to the start and into the stalls was probably the hardest part of the job.
You're very lucky. A few years later, I don't know if you remember the Abbey being the first race. It's not the first race anymore. I think it's like the fourth or fifth. But a couple of years later, that was the race where half the stalls opened.
Overdose, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Bulgarian Bullet or the Hungarian Bullet, where, yeah, they had to run the race twice on the same day. They ran it as the first race and the last race. That was amazing. But I was there and we had no idea because the announcements were, one, in French, and two, internet coverage wasn't great. But yeah, it's like, oh, they're running the race again. Oh, okay. You mightn't have made that flight. Listen, enjoy watching it. You're watching it from Killarney, though, this weekend?
I am in Killarney Saturday and Sunday. Flat meeting there Saturday, jump Sunday. But I'll be looking at all the action in France as well. And yeah, really interesting arc, isn't it? It's a great occasion. Yeah. And if you can get over any time, it's a great day out.
It is. It really is. Look, I tell you what, producer Mark, I'm told, is going down to Killarney as well. Have a few. We never got. What is your tipple of choice?
Depending on time of the year, probably getting into the winter now, Guinness, but generally lager, yeah.
No wonder the career is over. He's, oh, he'd be riding with drinking Guinness. No wonder you can't do. You can ride Osterhausen 10 stone 7.
It's good for the iron levels anyways.
Trying to get pregnant. Right. Listen, Brad, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy Kerry and enjoy the arc. Thanks, Billy, for your selection. We'll be back next week.